ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवामहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ. So our first class covered the Isavasya Upanishad. I have given you a general background. Today I will recollect some of the salient points of the Upanishads. The basic foundational scriptures of Hinduism are called Vedas. Actually it is called only Veda. The name Veda is a very significant word. Veda means knowledge. What type of knowledge are we talking about? The knowledge which is not available through the five sense organs. Indriya Atita Jnanam. Why? Because it is beyond the sense organs. And whatever we get through the sense organs is called Laukika Jnana, worldly knowledge. Now, about this world also, there is a hidden truth which we do not know. And that is why Vedas have to teach Indriya Atita Jnana both about what is the real nature of the world. All science can tell us is about the apparent knowledge of this world. So what is, for example, water, H2O, two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen. When these combine together, it forms a substance called water. This is a description, this is not a true knowledge. Why they should become water, why they should not become gold or diamond, that knowledge science doesn't have. It's why science is called descriptive knowledge, not explanatory knowledge. So, what do the Upanishads want to tell us, Vedas want to tell us? The truth about the world. What is the truth about the world? That the world is nothing other than Brahman. But God seen through an ignorant mind appears as names and forms is called the world. And we think that is the ultimate knowledge. And so we form our goals in life and strive to this mirage which totally disappears. A mirage cannot be there unless there is a foundation. You cannot mistake something as something else unless something is already present. Without rope, there cannot be any snake. So if this world is ever-changing world, then there must be a substratum called something unchanging over which change takes place. Change must always take place about something which is changeless. So even when we say the body is changing, there is a substance called body which never changes. See, for example, inside there is something called the bones, etc. And there is a foundational something which will not change. But these apparent changes must take place on that unchanging something. So what is that unchanging something in this example of the body? It's not the body. It is called existence. There is some material. That material will never change. But that material can be looked upon as different. Another example I will give you. Here is a chair made up of wood. The wood is the unchanging substance which can change into a chair, a table, a door, and at the same time, it will always remain as wood. This is an example, but wood also is a changeable nature only. So existence is that which never changes, and the name for that existence is God, Satchidananda. So Veda means true knowledge, right knowledge, and it is a scripture. Why is it a scripture? Because whatever we do in our life, we form because of certain desires. And desires arise because of our knowledge. Right knowledge brings right desire. Wrong knowledge brings wrong desire. For example, a small child baby might fondly snake, not knowing it could be a dangerous animal. But when the parent teaches it, this is a dangerous animal, so immediately changes his desire. What was the desire before? Let me fondly play with it. Now, let me be as much away from it. So, every scripture, and scripture, the word, the Sanskrit word for scripture is called Shastra. Shastra means, there is an etymological meaning. Shasati iti Shastra, that which commands. Commands because, in case of option, suggestion, request, cajoling will work. In case of truth, all these things will not work. What will work? Only commandment. Either do this, don't do this. These are the two things. So every scripture, as I mentioned many times, by this time you must have by-hearted those things. Every scripture must tell, teach us three things. What are they? Anybody? Tattva, Purushartha and Hita. Tattva means what is the truth? Because we all want the truth only. Even a thief doesn't want fake currency. He wants only real currency. He may want to give us fake currency, but he doesn't want fake currency. A liar might tell lies to us, but if you tell lies to him, he doesn't like it. A person who is harmful might do some harm to others, but he doesn't want to be harmed. This is the very peculiar thing. Another peculiar thing, though I mentioned it many times, that if a person is telling you lie, does he say that I am telling you a lie, you believe it? He says, I am telling you the truth. Only when we are convinced it is the truth and not a lie, then only we act upon it, not otherwise. So, this peculiarity is there. We are always searching for truth. And truth is of two types. I will come to that later on. So, tattva means truth. If this is the truth, that can only be the goal of life. It nothing else can be goal of life. Truth or untruth. Nobody wants untruth. Because untruth is unhappiness, suffering. So that is called Purushartha. What is the Purushartha? That you have to realize the truth. And then there must be a way to reach it. That is called Hita. Hita means what? The pathway to reach the goal. Swami Vivekananda has those four sentences. They are the essence of all the scriptures that were there and that will come in future. Each soul is potentially divine. And the goal is to manifest this divinity by controlling nature within external and internal. And manifest to this divinity either by karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga or jnana yoga. And be free, because only truth can make us free. And then fourth sentence he added, because that is the most important sentence according to me. This is the whole of religion. Doctrines, dogmas, temples, churches, books, these are all secondary details. Unless we are reminded again and again, you are reading a book, that is a secondary detail. You are doing japa, that is a secondary detail. You are attending classes, secondary detail. But you have to manifest your divinity. That is the only truth. And become totally free. This is what Vedas are also telling us. So, to make us reach this truth, Vedas are divided into two categories. Before that, let me say. So, to make us understand this truth, Vedas have formulated four goals. Four goals. What is the truth? That every jiva, every living creature, non-living creature, the whole world is nothing but Brahma. That is the truth. In order to make a person realize the truth, Veda is divided into two parts. What is the part? First step and second step. We all have to start with the first step and then reach the second step and the goal will be reached. The first part of the Vedas is called Karma Kanda. I prefer to call it Dharma Kanda, because karma is done by animals also. It is only intelligent, rational, thinking human beings who could really think about it and adopt certain types of actions, which is called dharma. Avoid adharma and accept dharma. And the second part is called, it is పాపులర్లీ కాల్డ్ జ్ఞానకాండ, ఐ ప్రిఫర్ టు కాల్ ఇట్ బ్రహ్మకాండ. ఐ ఆల్సో ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ ది రీజన్ ఫర్ దట్. వాట్ వాజ్ ది రీజన్? బికాస్ దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ పాత్ కాల్డ్ జ్ఞాన మార్గ. ఇఫ్ యూ సే జ్ఞానకాండ, ఆహా సి ఎవ్రీబడి హ్యాస్ టు కమ్ టు జ్ఞాన మార్గ ఓన్లీ. దే విల్ జస్టిఫై ఇట్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు స్టాప్ దెమ్ టెల్లింగ్ దట్ ఫెనాటికల్ స్టేట్మెంట్. ఐ సే ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ బ్రహ్మకాండ, గాడ్ కాండ. బెంగాలీ దర్ సర్టన్ వర్డ్స్ కీ కాండో. సో గాడ్ కాండో, వెరీ వెరీ గుడ్ చాప్టర్ ఆన్ గాడ్. సో దే ఆర్ ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ టూ ఆర్ నాట్ అపోజిట్ టు ఈచ్ అదర్. దే ఆర్ వన్ స్టెప్ లీడింగ్ టు ది నెక్స్ట్ స్టెప్. అండ్ సో దెర్ ఆర్ పీపుల్ ఆల్సో గ్రో చిల్డ్రన్ అండ్ మేచర్, ఇమ్మేచర్ అండ్ మేచర్, అదర్వైజ్ అండ్ వైజ్. పీపుల్ ఆర్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు వైజ్ అండ్ అదర్వైజ్. ఫర్ ది అదర్వైజ్ పీపుల్ కర్మ, దిస్ ధర్మకాండ ఈజ్ ది బెస్ట్ థింగ్ టు మేక్ దెమ్ వైజ్. ఫర్ ది వైజ్ పీపుల్ బ్రహ్మకాండ, దట్ విచ్ లీడ్స్ టు వన్స్ ఓన్ గోల్, దట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూత్. సో హియర్ ఆల్సో వై షుడ్ వి రియలైజ్ గాడ్? మేబీ గాడ్ ఈజ్ ఇండిఫరెంట్ టు మీ, అండ్ వెదర్ హీ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఐ డోంట్ నో, బట్ నోబడి కెన్ డినై ఐ ఎగ్జిస్ట్. యూ కెన్ డినై ఎవ్రీథింగ్, యూ కెనాట్ డినై యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. దట్ ఐ డు నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ నోబడి కెన్ సే. ఈవెన్ టు సే ఐ డు నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ సంబడి హ్యాస్ టు ఎగ్జిస్ట్. సో దెన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఐ? శంకరాచార్య గివ్స్ ఎ బ్రిలియంట్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్. ఎస్ వీ ఆల్ స్టార్ట్ అవర్ ఎంక్వైరీ విత్ ది ఐ. దిస్ ఐ ఈజ్ వెల్ నోన్, బట్ దట్ డజంట్ మీన్ వీ నో ది ట్రూత్ అబౌట్ ది ఐ. సో దెర్ ఆర్ టూ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ఐస్. శ్రీరామకృష్ణ క్లారిఫైస్ ఇట్, పాకామి కాచామి, మేచర్ ఐ అండ్ ఇమ్మేచర్ ఐ. సో వీ ఆల్ స్టార్ట్ విత్ ఇమ్మేచర్ ఐ ఓన్లీ. సో వేద ఈజ్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు టూ పార్ట్స్, ధర్మకాండ అండ్ బ్రహ్మకాండ. అండ్ ది హ్యాపీనెస్ ఆర్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు టూ కేటగిరీస్, దోస్ హు ఆర్ ఇగ్నోరెంట్, దోస్ హు ఆర్ వైజ్, ఆర్ డిస్క్రిమినేటింగ్, ఇన్డిస్క్రిమినేటింగ్ పీపుల్. బట్ ది పొటెన్షియాలిటీ ఈజ్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ ది సేమ్. అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ ది ఇన్డిస్క్రిమినేట్ పీపుల్ మస్ట్ బి మేడ్ టు అడ్వాన్స్ ఇన్ టు డిస్క్రిమినేట్ నేచర్, ద విచ్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ జిజ్ఞాస. ఫర్ దట్ పర్పస్ మ్యాన్, వెన్ హీ డజంట్ నో ది హయ్యెస్ట్ ట్రూత్, హీ నోస్ సమ్ ట్రూత్, దెన్ హిజ్ గోల్ ఆల్సో విల్ బి లెస్ గోల్. సో అకార్డింగ్ టు హిందూయిజం దీస్ గోల్స్ ఆర్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు ఫోర్ కేటగిరీస్. వి ఆల్ నో ధర్మ, అర్థ, కామ అండ్ మోక్ష. సో ధర్మ, అర్థ అండ్ కామ, దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ లోయర్ గోల్స్, టెంపరీ గోల్స్, నాట్ పర్మనెంట్ గోల్స, టెంపరీ గోల్స్. వాట్ ఈస్ దే పర్మనెంట్ గోల్? హ్యావింగ్ రీచ్డ్ విచ్ దెర్ ఈస్ నథింగ్ ఎల్స్ టు సీక్, దట్ ఈస్ ది పర్మనెంట్ గోల్. సో అంటిల్ దట్ టైమ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఏ టెంపరీ గోల్. ధర్మ, అర్థ, కామ, దీస్ త్రీ ఆల్సో అక్వైర్డ్ అనదర్ నేమ్, అభ్యుదయ, ఆర్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ పాసిబుల్ వరల్డ్లీ హ్యాపీనెస్. అభ్యుదయ అండ్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ హ్యాపీనెస్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ నిశ్రేయస. అగైన్ వాట్ ఈస్ ది డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ దీస్ టూ? అభ్యుదయ ఈజ్ ఎ టెంపరీ హ్యాపీనెస్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ బట్ టెంపరీ. హౌ డూ వీ నో? బికాస్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ వీ రీచ్ వరల్డ్లీ గోల్, దెన్ వీ సీ దిస్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎనఫ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఈజ్ నీడెడ్. సో ఫర్ దట్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ గోల్ ఐ హ్యావింగ్ రీచ్డ్ విచ్ దేర్ వుడ్ బి నో మోర్ ఎనీ ఫర్దర్ గోల్, బికాస్ ది పర్సన్ హెస్ రీచ్డ్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ పీక్. ఆఫ్టర్ రీచింగ్ మౌంట్ ఎవరెస్ట్ పీక్ ఎవరెస్ట్, దెన్ దెర్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్ ఫర్దర్ టు బి రీచ్డ్. సో దేర్ వుడ్ బి నో మోర్ గోల్. ఏ గోల్ ఆల్వేస్ ఇండికేట్స్ దెర్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్ ఎల్స్ టు బి, సమ్వేర్ ఎల్స్ టు రీచ్ ఆర్ గో. సో అభ్యుదయ అండ్ నిశ్రేయస ఆర్ ది టూ నేమ్స్ గివెన్ ఫర్ దీస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ గోల్స్. అభ్యుదయ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ టెంపరీ, ధర్మకాండ ఇస్ ఎ స్టెప్పింగ్ స్టోన్. సో ధర్మ, అర్థ అండ్ కామ, దే గివ్ అస్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, బట్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ ఎ మ్యాన్ రీచెస్ దట్ హ్యాపీనెస్, దెన్ హీస్ ఐస్ గెట్ ఓపెన్, ఓ దెర్ ఈస్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఇస్ దేర్, అండ్ హీ కెనాట్ రెసిస్ట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్, హీ హ్యాస్ టు మూవ్ ఫార్వర్డ్. దట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూత్ అబౌట్ ఇట్. సో వేదాస్ ఫార్ములేట్ ఫోర్ పురుషార్థ, అండ్ ఇన్ నో స్క్రిప్చర్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ యూ గెట్ సచ్ క్రిస్టల్ క్లియర్ ఎక్స్ప్లనేషన్. హియర్ ఈజ్ ఎ వరల్డ్లీ హ్యాపీనెస్, హియర్ ఈజ్ spiritual or highest happiness, nishrayasa. And nishrayasa everybody has to seek. Why do they need to seek? Because that is our nature. We are seeking, in other words, ourselves. Earlier I raised a question, why should we realize God? You are not realizing God. You are realizing your own true nature, which in theistic terms is called God. Jiva Brahmaiva Naparaha. Jiva is none other than Brahman. So this is what the Upanishads want to tell. Now, the scriptures say that the only goal that is defect-free is Brahman or Moksha. So why the first three goals cannot be the ultimate goals? Because these goals have got defects. These goals have got defects. How many defects they have? Three defects. Every worldly enjoyment has got three defects. I am only remembering because we already have threadbare discussed these things. So what is the first defect? That no worldly happiness is complete. For a simple example, you love to eat sweets and you get one sweet and you eat that sweet. Even while eating that sweet, you still have the desire. The other sweet also is nice. It would have been nice if I could get. How many more sweets? Infinite. So every happiness is incomplete. Every happiness is temporary. It is not permanent. I have enjoyed and that happiness will remain forever. Therefore, there would be no more desire. No, it is incomplete and it is only temporary. And this is the first defect. Both. The second defect is every happiness is the pay, it must be paid with its opposite, suffering. If you are not hungry, you can't eat. If you are not having, not tired, you can't take rest. If you are not thirsty, you can't enjoy. This is a fact I am drawing your attention because you think the payment for enjoyment is money. If I have money, I can buy a sweet. You can buy a sweet. But whether it will give you enjoyment or not, that depends upon many factors. Suppose you got some nice sweet and you are anticipating, I will eat nicely. Suddenly, Swami Dayatmananda comes. Not that it's an, I don't think it's an unwelcome welcome. But still, when you are about to eat the sweet all by yourself, suddenly you have to share it with somebody else and we share it with God. You know why? Because we know for sure God is not going to eat it. Whatever you put in front of him, he will bless it and then give it back. But Swami Dayatmananda is not going to do that. Whatever is put in front of him, it will disappear. So this is the defect. What is the payment? Suffering is the payment. Most people do not know that. If you are not suffering from hunger, can't enjoy your food. If you are not suffering thirst, cannot enjoy water. If you are not suffering from tiredness, you can't enjoy rest. If you are not suffering from boredom, you don't want to get out of people's and then be alone. For every happiness, the opposite is the payment you have to pay. And exact proportion. 50% hungry, 50% happiness. Like that. Imagine. That is the second defect. What is the third defect? Every time we enjoy something, it forges another impression. This is very nice. I want it again and again and again. So these are the three defects. These three defects come in dharma, artha and kama. Why is it so? First, we know artha and kama. First, dharma. What is dharma? You earn credit. I am putting it modern terminology, credit. Credit will not last long. Because the moment credit is there, you spend it. And again, you have to top it up. Whether it is mobile phone or whatever it is, you have to top it up. So, second thing, artha. So, you earn something and you have to spend it. Spend it in so many ways, holidays or this or that. And again, you have to top it up. Kama, you enjoyed it. So, how long will it last? You have eaten nice breakfast. After 3-4 hours again, you have to top it up. All the three have got these three defects. But is there anything which is free from these three defects? Yes, that is called moksha that is called self-knowledge, that is called God realization, that is called samadhi, etc. Many names are there, nirvana, etc. Kingdom of heaven, Satori, whatever name you call it. So that doesn't have the three defects. It is complete happiness, it is permanent happiness, and there is no way to go it back. So that is why that is called Nishreyasa or Parama Purushartha, the highest goal any human being can have. So whatever I seek is defective. The only thing defect-free is Brahman, that I alone am Brahman. So whatever, what is the, everything in this world is defective. I think I am the body-mind, therefore body-mind is also defective. This body-mind complex with some consciousness is called jiva. We are already that jivas, but we are suffering. So is it possible for me to become completely defect-free? Yes. Is there something called defect-free? Yes. What is it called? Brahman. Okay, Brahman is defect-free, but I am full of defect. Then what is the good of me? No, you do not know that you are Brahman. You are thinking you are jiva. So you are not really jiva. You are thinking you are jiva. The defect is not that you are defective. The defective is in thinking that you are defective is the defect. So the Upanishads want to remove that delusion that you are not going to attain something which you are not. This is another psychological truth we have to accept. What is the psychological truth? If you are not Brahman, you are never ever going to become Brahman. And if you are Brahman, you are never ever going to become jiva. You may think like your dream. Many times we say it, you know, you are lying on your bed, but you are thinking that you are in a jail or a dungeon or somebody is beating you up. But so long as the dream lasts, you think that is the truth. When you wake up, you know that that is not the truth. You are always lying in your own bed, all secure and absolutely safe and happy. Everything is going on beautifully. But when will you realize it? Only when the dream breaks. That is why this worldly life is called a dream. So the jiva thinks that he is the limited body-mind, BM complex. The process of self-inquiry evolves in the following way to culminate in knowledge. So we are always seeking to evolve. Evolution is always. Here is a beautiful law again, psychological law. What is that? We are always evolving in knowledge. We are always evolving in knowledge. An amoeba thinks I am the amoeba. That is the its condition in the process of evolution. So you may say, what is wrong with it? After all, it is an amoeba body. Yes, amoeba body. But the jiva who is in the amoeba body thinks I am the amoeba. But that is not the correct, that is not the truth. The amoeba is none other than Brahman. The consciousness is none other than Brahman. Then it evolves into, let us say, an animal. And animal thinks, I am a monkey. So that is also defective. Then the animal evolves into man. It thinks I am the man. That is also wrong. Then it thinks I am the deva. That is also wrong. When it comes to know that I am none of these, that is called I am. All the time, what is it thinking? I am amoeba. I am animal. I am man. I am deva. All these things. What do you need? What should I think? Don't think anything. Just think I am. That is what you are. All these things are, they come, they go. So that is the evolution in knowledge. And this takes place in four steps. This knowledge, evolution of knowledge takes place in four steps. They are called Viparyaya, Samshaya, Sambhavana and Nischaya. Viparyaya means completely wrong idea. I know what I am really not. I know what I am not really. That is, what I am really is Brahman. I know that I am not Brahman. I am a human being. This is called wrong knowledge, ulta jnana, or another name for it, Ajnana, Ajnana. Then somebody comes and tells, no, 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 you are Brahman like that, you read some books, attend some classes, then doubt comes. Oh, how can it possible? Maybe it is possible. No, 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 it is not possible. No, 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 it is possible. So the swinging between, sometimes it is true, sometimes it is not true, that is the evolution in knowledge. Then this samshaya gives birth to sambhavana. I think that is true. How do I know? I look at Ramakrishna. He is always happy. I look at Holy Mother. I look at Swamiji. I look at Guru Nanak. I look at Mirabai. I look at millions of saints, Jesus Christ, Buddha, Rama, Krishna, everybody. And says they are also human beings. See, all of them are human beings. See, here also there is some one wonderful point you have to clarify. During my talks, I will be clarifying such things. When we are talking about God, when we are talking about avatara, an avatara is always a human being like any one of us. So when we are talking about Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, we are talking about gods. When we are talking about Rama, Krishna, Buddha, etc., at one time they were human beings, and then they obtained knowledge and they became gods. They became now equal to gods. Say for example, Ramakrishna Sarvadeva Devi Swarupaya Sri Ramakrishnaya Namaha. Sarvadeva Devi Swarupa. He is Shiva, he is Vishnu, he is Kali, he is Krishna, he is Gopala, he is everybody. But at the same time, at one time he was a human being. But that human being was necessary to show us, I was also a human being, I became God. You are also a human being, you can also become God. This sambhavana, possibility of attaining that state, is what that great thinker Aldous Huxley calls human possibilities, which Swami Vivekananda called potential divinity. So that is the third step in, what is the first thing? Wrong knowledge. What is the second thing? Doubt about my own wrong knowledge. And what is the third thing? Possibility of the right knowledge. And the final stage is called Nischaya Jnanam. That is, this is the absolute, the proven truth. What is the truth? Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. Jiva is none other than Brahman. So this is how slowly from wrong knowledge to doubt to possibility and then conviction it comes. Now I am going to introduce something before I introduce this subject itself. This is called Pramana. I just now talked about what? A minute before, what did I talk about? Evolution in knowledge. Evolution in knowledge. Four stages I said. Wrong knowledge, then there is a doubt, then there is a possibility, then there is a conviction. Now I am going to introduce. How does this evolution in knowledge take place? It takes to get the right knowledge, whether it is worldly knowledge or spiritual knowledge, we have to use right means. So right means alone can assure us right knowledge. And here is something which is a very wonderful point you have to understand. We have got how many sense organs? Five. Five sense organs. Each sense organ is a master, is a head of its own department. And it is the authority in its sphere. And it is not an authority in any other sphere. What am I talking about? When I see, here is a beautiful painting. How did I obtain that knowledge? Through the eye. This is called Rupa Jnana, form. So the eye is the only authority. The ear suddenly cannot, hey, you stupid fellow, you are wrong. That is an ugly painting. It doesn't, the ear doesn't even know what is a painting. It doesn't know anything about the other four things. What is this? Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. So Shabda means sound. Sparsha means touches. What are they? How many touches are there? Four are there. Cold, heat, hard and soft. And forms means colors. So the eye is authority in the only colors. No sense organ can sense colors. It can sense form. So you see, here is a chair. I see a chair. I can close my eyes and say, oh, it looks like that. I can get the knowledge. But whether it is brown or green or white or a combination of colors, that I cannot get through any other sense organ. That's why the eye is dealing only with forms. Forms means colors, only colors. And the ear deals only with one. What is it? Sounds. That's all. The eye cannot say there is a beautiful music. You can say what type of dhoti or sari the musician is wearing, that they can say, but what type of sweet sound or anything, it cannot tell. So, did you get the point that each sense organ is confined only to one particular department of gathering knowledge? It is an authority only in its, no other organ has any authority. That is the first point. Second point is, it is an authority only when everything is right. So, you are playing some, there is a beautiful painting and there is a cloud is passing through, a big smoke is passing through. Can you judge whether it is a good painting or bad painting? The conditions must be, there must be sufficient light, there must be no obstruction between that object and my eye, and my eyes must be 20-20 vision, not cataracted or squint-eyed vision. When all these conditions are fulfilled, what comes is called right knowledge. So, we are always after what? Right knowledge. Wrong knowledge always lands us in suffering. I mistake this fellow, he is a truthful fellow. He goes on telling, I am a truthful fellow. If you hear anybody telling, I am a truthful person, the first thing you have to do is to doubt his truthfulness, because no truthful person goes on claiming I am a truthful person. Sri Ramakrishna tells, no gentleman will ever tell I am a gentleman. It is for others to judge whether he is a gentleman or not. So, two points we noted. What is it? Each sense organ is a master in its own department, and no other sense organ has anything to controvert about it. What is the second point? That for it to obtain the right knowledge in its department, the conditions must be absolutely right. And what did I say earlier? That we are all after right knowledge. To get right knowledge, we must have right means, right instruments and right means. So, in Sanskrit, there are four terms. That is what I am going to introduce first of all. The word always starts with pra and ma. Prama means right knowledge. Pramana means right means of obtaining right knowledge. Prameya means the right knowledge about a particular object. And pramata is the person who is after obtaining the right knowledge. So, the person who wants right knowledge is called pramata. What he wants is right knowledge about any object called prameya. The means he employs to obtain that right knowledge is called pramana. And the resultant, if these three are right, the result is called prama. Prama means right knowledge. Prama means right knowledge. So, the subject must be right, the object must be right, the means of obtaining knowledge must be right, and then only the resultant knowledge will be accurate, unchallengeable and uncontrovertible. This is the beautiful idea we will have to slowly develop. Four terms, I have employed these four terms. So, keep those four terms. So, then I also told that the Vedas is going to tell us about two types of knowledge, Laukika and Vaidika. One is knowledge about this world which we are all experiencing, and also knowledge about that which we can never obtain through the sense organs. Our problem is, we think we know about the world. Of course, we don't know about God. So, this is Atindriya Jnana. Indriya Jnana and Atindriya Jnana. Indriya Jnana must give us, should give us knowledge about this world. Atindriya Jnana must give us knowledge about what is beyond. So, what is that beyond? Beyond three things, they say. Is there a permanent thing called soul or God? Is there life after so-called death? And is there another world? So, Atma, Parajivana and Paraloka. This is Atindriya Jnanam. That we will come later on. The Vedas alone can give that one. But with regard to this world, to obtain the right knowledge, we also need certain pramanas. Pramana means what? Right means of obtaining right knowledge. If the instruments we use are wrong, then the resultant knowledge will also be defective. Knowledge will be there. Defective instrument means defective knowledge. Suppose the eye is not able to see, then the knowledge will be wrong knowledge will be there. So, Vedanta, and I am going to talk about the Upanishad through Vedanta, is Vedanta employs six pramana, six means of obtaining. Did we talk about it in Isavasya Upanishad? I don't remember, but I think we must have talked about it. So, what are those things? Pratyaksha, Anumana, Upamana, then Arthapatti, Anupalabdhi, Shabda. Six. So very briefly, in today's topic, I will talk about these six pramana. First of all, the last pramana is called Shabda. Shabda means Veda. Another name for Veda is Shabda. Shabda means verbal testimony. So Sri Ramakrishna tells, I see my Divine Mother here. There is no way for you excepting having faith in his words. Suppose Sri Ramakrishna says, here is a chair. For that, there is no need for me to doubt. Because if I am having eyes, he will point out and say, here is, if I don't have eyes, you feel this one. Then this is the chair. But with regard to God, there is no way to obtain this, to use these five sense organs. We must have only faith in it. That is why it is called Shabda. Authoritative statement, the experiences of realized souls, all these clubbed together is called Shabda Pramana. And Veda gives us two types of pramanas, Shabda Pramana and also Laukika Pramana. That is, Veda is not only talking about God, not only talking about Atman, not only talking about life after death, not only talking about the other worlds, that there are other worlds existing like Swargaloka, Prajapatiloka, Brahmaloka, etc. But it is also giving knowledge about this world. And I told you earlier, lest you forget, many times I am going to repeat it until it enters into the brain. We think we know the truth about this world. Vaguely we know, but we are not paying attention. What is that truth that we know about this world? Everything is temporary. Who doesn't know? Who doesn't know about death? Everybody knows. All of us know about death. But what is the scripture going to tell us? So there is no scientific law that every human being will die at the end of 100th year, at the last day, last night, he will have dinner and he will go to bed, he or she will go to bed, and before 12:01, at exactly 12 o'clock midnight, he will die. Is there any such law? Children can die, fetuses can die, and men can die, women can die, animals can die, at any time, at any age, anywhere, under any circumstances, in any horrible way or sweet way or any way. Even that fact we know, but we don't keep it in our mind. So, if we keep in mind, what is the benefit we get? I'm giving an example. See, somebody, especially in our family, suddenly you get a news phone. Your mother is dead, wife is dead, child is dead, whatever it is. You will be shocked. Sometimes people also will die. Supposing there is a small boy. He got a cancer. Doctor, after testing, detects this child has cancer. And it is in the fourth stage. And this child will not live for more than 6 months. Even if you give treatment, 6 months. Within 6 months, more or less, the child will come to die. And slowly some months pass. At fourth month or fifth month, the child dies. When you hear this news, will it make you shocked? Will you be shocked? Why you are not shocked? Because every day you are expecting this child will not survive for more than 6 months. You are expecting it. In fact, if it doesn't happen, you might be shocked. So, this is the benefit when we believe that death can come at any time, and when we actually accept it. When something comes, it doesn't surprise us. Suppose we come to know after 1 hour, we are going to die. And it will not shock us. And then not only that, if I am know about it earlier, I am finishing some of the unfinished tasks and put everything in order, and then I go away. Then I have done my job. I am remembering God. Most likely to remember God when it is certain. So that truth the Vedas want to tell us now. So very briefly, I am going to enumerate about the six pramanas. Pratyaksha means, akshi means I. Pratyaksha means what I see directly. I am seeing you. You are seeing me. I am talking. You are able to hear it. This is called pratyaksha. Pratyaksha through all the 5 sense organs. I am able to see, I am able to hear, I am able to smell, I am able to taste, I am able to touch directly. This is called pratyaksha. So this is the strongest means of right knowledge, of course provided the light conditions. No, light condition is only one condition that applies only to the eye. So there should not be terrible thundering noise all over, and then you can't hear. Even if somebody is shouting also, can't hear. Under the right conditions, then whatever the 5 sense organs obtain, more or less, that is a, if they are healthy, in a healthy condition, everything, then what we experience is called pratyaksha, means direct experience. Direct experience, it's not coming indirectly. That is important here. This is called pratyaksha pramana. So that is why Sri Ramakrishna says, we all have doubts about God, but when we ourselves experience God directly, and that is called aparoksha anubhuti. Paroksha means indirect. Aparoksha means direct experience. Then even if the whole world comes and says God doesn't exist, it makes no impact upon us. So pratyaksha, I saw with my own eyes, I heard with my own ears. So even if many people tell us also, we are unlikely to believe it. So that is why pratyaksha pramana is the best means of obtaining right knowledge. This is the first one. And all other things are, all the other 4 pramanas, last pramana is shabda pramana. I am excluding it for now. For obtaining worldly knowledge, these 5 pramanas are employed. So pratyaksha, everything else is based upon this pratyaksha pramana. The next pramana, only for because the sense organs can give only worldly knowledge. Whatever knowledge we get through the sense organs is called worldly knowledge. So anything about life after death, the existence of soul, and another world where we are reborn, that is beyond this. See, a very nice question also. I tell you what is the implication. You might not have realized. Suppose through your ears, you can perceive the other world. You can see what type of life you can have. Now I am stealing. And then you are able to see that after death, you are going there, what they call it, barbecuing you. Will you do it? You won't do it. And you see that you are helping other people, you are donating all your money, you are doing service to other people. And as a result, you are able to see you are there in heavenly loka, Indra loka, sitting there and enjoying it. Then you know, all of us will be fighting with each other. Who will be the first person to sacrifice our goods? Because I want to be the first in Swarga loka. And I want to be the last in the Naraka loka. You understand? Unfortunately, God has covered that knowledge from us, future knowledge. That is related to karma. Anybody who is doing bad karma, if he knows that because of his bad karma, he is going to suffer a lot, he is going to become a bullock with a hole pierces through its nose and somebody controlling it, will anybody do anything bad? And will anybody refrain from doing any good if they come to know what is going to be the result? So this is the secret God had hidden, unfortunately, and he gives us the other type of knowledge. You do as much wrong as possible. Only condition is you can break all the Ten Commandments, provided thou shalt not be caught. They think we can go scot-free, but there is some CCTV. Chitragupta has kept a CCTV in everybody's heart. So let other people may not know, but I know what I have done. And the first thing Chitragupta looks is all these things. Okay. So the next pramana through which we get right knowledge is called Anumana Pramana. Anumana means inference. As I mentioned earlier, that all the other four means pramanas are based upon only that one pramana. What is that pramana? Pratyaksha, direct experience. So what is this Anumana Pramana? Supposing you have a car. You have been using that car for 20 years. Everybody knows, many people saw you getting down, getting into, it's a red colored car and you always park at a particular spot. People know about it. So one day a person comes there and he sees the car there. He has not seen you. He has seen your car. What does he infer out of that? That you are somewhere here. It might be wrong. Somebody must have stolen or brought. It could look somebody else's car also. But we usually infer. So this is called Vyapti Jnana. What is called unbroken relationship between two things. The classical example is smoke and fire. Where there is smoke, there will be fire. You are not seeing fire, but you have seen smoke. So from the other side of the compound wall, you infer if there is a smoke, there must be a fire. So this invariable, unbreakable relationship between fire and then smoke, this from there, by seeing one, you infer. This relationship between you and your car, relationship between you and your shoes. Many people told me that, you know, they come to look for me near my room. They see my chappal outside. And then they, what is their inference? Swami is inside. And sometimes I know this person is going to come. So I take the chappals inside. What would be the inference? Swami is not here. So he goes in search of some time. I have to do all this employ. I am employing Anumana Pramana because I want to avoid that fellow. He is employing Anumana Pramana to get me. I am employing the same Anumana Pramana to get rid of him. This is called inferential knowledge. The third sort of pramana is called arthapatti. It is similar to inferential knowledge, but slightly different. What is this? On early morning, you get up and you see all the streets are completely dripping wet. You slept whole night. You are not witnessed it raining, but you see early in the morning, the whole place. If it is a small place, it could be leaky water tap. Or it could be even municipality truck leaking also. Or it would be some pipe broken in the road. But when you see a large area, then what is your inference? That yesterday night, it must have rained. This is called arthapatti. Similar to inference, but because where there is fire and where there is smoke, it is invariable. But this could be, as I mentioned, multiple choices are there. It could be a municipality truck gone wrong, or it could be a pipe bursting, or it could be your own something, somebody has put water, it could be anything. But slight difference, almost similar, but this is one of the means we employ to understand, oh, yesterday night I have not seen, but like that. Another thing, you get up in the morning, so the neighbors, 10 days before, they have gone, locked their house and gone on a holiday. And you don't know when they are coming. And one morning you get up and you see their car there. You have not seen them? coming in. What is your inference? That they must have arrived last night. This is false under arthapati. Why? That there is no invariable relationship between last night and their coming. They might come that night, they might come tonight, they might come tomorrow night. So any number of possibilities are there. That is slight difference between inferential knowledge and arthapatti, presumption. It is called presumption. So another right means of knowledge is called comparison. This is upamana. What is upamana? One day there is a villager and he has got some buffalo, some cows. One day he goes into the forest and suddenly there he sees a wild animal. He doesn't know, first time he sees. But then almost it is resembling his buffalo. So what is his inferential now knowledge now? Since this looks like my buffalo or a cow, it must be another species of animals like my cow or buffalo. This is called upamana, comparison. Comparison. This is how sometimes we compare also. Suddenly somebody comes, hey, you look like that person. There are people like that. The children look exactly like their fathers at some particular age. Anyway, upamana, pramana. So, how many we talked about? Pratyaksha, anumana, arthapatti and upamana. Then there is one pramana, the most peculiar pramana, and that contributes to great of our knowledge. Lot of it is called anupalabdhi, absence of something. Very peculiar, I said, because so you come to my room and you open my door, you look, and then you don't find me. You don't see me. That means you don't find me. When you don't find me, you have definite knowledge. Swami is not there. Usually when you experience something, you have knowledge. Here, absence of experience has led you to that knowledge. So since Swami is not here, he must be somewhere else. So that gives a definite, otherwise, if you don't have that knowledge, you go on searching where? In the same place. So maybe he is under the blanket, he has become one with the blanket, and he is underneath the cot. He is maybe on the somewhere. Will you go on doing that? You don't do that. This special knowledge without experiencing, non-experiencing and getting knowledge is called anupalabdhi. Upalabdhi means to obtain. Anupalabdhi means not, by not obtaining. And this saves us a lot of trouble. You are searching for a book in one room. You know you kept it there. Now it is not there. So what is your knowledge now? Book is not in this room. Somebody must have placed it. That will lead you to ask other people, oh, have you taken this book? Somebody will tell, yes, yes, I felt curiosity, I took it to my room, to my bed. So this is how we are obtaining knowledge. These are the five means of obtaining knowledge. So what is it? Pratyaksha, direct experience. Then anumana, inferential knowledge. Then presumption, arthapatti. So I presume that yesterday night it must have rained. And comparison, comparative knowledge, that since this looks like that, it must be related to that species only. And since this is not there, which is called anupalabdhi, and so I obtain that. If all these five are employed correctly, we get correct knowledge. Most marvelous thing in this world. And the last one, I said, it is called Shabda. Shabda or Adhikarika Purushas Vachanas. This Anubhuti, Shastra, all these fall. Every Shastra falls under Shabda Pramana. Because it is talking about three things. Whether there is something called eternal and infinite, which is called Atman or Brahman, God. Whether there is life after death, Parajivana. Whether there is another world, that can never be obtained through these five means. It can be obtained only on the authority of a person who directly experiences. He cannot show it to you, but he can authoritatively tell you, I have seen that one, I have experienced it, and that experience cannot be five sense organs. Because even Sri Ramakrishna's five sense organs will only give what? Knowledge about this world only. So there must be another type of indriya, atendriya. It is called intuition. It is called even knowledge beyond the mind. That is called shabda pramana. So with regard to this world, we can employ all these five. With regard to something which is beyond this world, we have no option but to believe in God. That is why one of the qualifications of spiritual practice sadhana is shraddha, shastra, guru, vakyeshu, satya, buddhi, avadharana, shraddha, kadita, yaya, vastu, palabhyate, only through which God can be obtained. So this is the introduction, because Upanishads fall under which category? Shabda Pramana. It is going to tell us. And we will, next week, we'll start the introduction, etc. Om Sahana Vavato Sahana Bhunakto Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.